Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
There have been a lot of moves made by NL West teams this offseason. A lot of moves. The Diamondbacks and Dodgers have been very active, and the Giants have been moderately active. And a lot of those moves are kind of scary if you're a Padres fan. Corbin Burns, the Blake Snell move, obviously, huge. Willy Adames going to the Giants. Yesterday's move, to me, was not one of the scarier ones. No. But we did get another one when the Giants have agreed to a one-year contract with Justin Verlander.
Lord, baseball!
$15 million. No.
$15 million. The guy's 42 years old. He is 4 years older than his general manager. Insane.
It's, it may work out for them.
Ah, here I am, Lord Baseball.
But at age 42, his strikeout rate has dropped below the league average.
Yeah.
He is not the pitcher that he used to be. This is a vibes leadership kind of move.
Buddy, is this even a gets asses in the seat move? If you're a Giants fan today, how are you feeling? Because I'm telling you, if it was the Padres that did this yesterday, I'd be livid. As much as I'm sitting here bitching at them to spend money.
If it was on Justin Verlander,
I'd be livid.
And you go, that's who we can add. You wouldn't be happy about it.
I don't think. I would. And that's complete transparency. I don't think I would be happy about it at all.
But it is depth. And every team in the NL West is building a large amount of pitching depth in their starting rotation. And it's the one thing the Padres are lacking. Is they've got top of the rotation strength.
Yes.
But they don't have bottom of the rotation depth right now.
Padres did, as someone pointed out in the chat, they did counter by signing Luis Patino again. So I think he's still injured. Yeah, he's
Tommy John, he's out for the year.
Out for the year.
Most of the year, I think. So
that's cool.
They're counting on probably Matt Waldron, you know, or Randy Vasquez to be part of the starting rotation. If not both of them, you know, at a serious amount of the season this year. And that's why, even if they don't get Roky Sasaki, you're right. They do need to go out and add pitching depth at some point. We went through some of the names yesterday, guys who are still available, probably going to start getting a little more desperate over the next few weeks. You could go the veteran route like a Lance Lynn. You could go the reunion route with a Cal Quantrill or a Colin Ray. All pitchers who are gonna have their ups and downs. They'll be effective a few starts. They'll get shelled a few starts. I don't think there's anyone left who's going to put together a Cy Young type season for you. But this is where they were always. They're not looking for a one. They're looking for a four and a five at this point.
That's a good point by Alex. He says Sasaki doesn't necessarily equate to depth. And he really doesn't. I mean, it's another guy at the top of your rotation. It's great. It's great. But again, with the way
even if he throws 120 innings, that's 120 innings that goes toward your total,
which is
good.
I felt pretty good about the rotation heading into 2024 as far as number of bodies available.
Yeah.
Especially after the trade. You get Vasquez, you get this Matt Waldron guy who turned out to be a horse and was great for us.
Your first half of Matt Waldron was absolutely
But we still needed integral. More, is my point. Yeah. We were talking about seven or eight potential starters heading into last season. Still wasn't enough.
Yeah. It never is, it feels like. You know, you saw what the Dodgers were able to do winning the World Series with essentially two starting pitchers and an elite bullpen. That's another method that we talked about yesterday, Ben. The Padres aren't going to overpay right now for a Tanner Scott, in my opinion. It's what their strategy was at the deadline last year, though. Let's improve this bullpen. We got Jason Adam, we got Tanner Scott, and man, those guys really did their job down the stretch.
Now, guys like Waldron and Vasquez are still at the stage of their career where they should be getting better. better. You know,
yes,
they're getting more
improving.
Experience and improving. You know, working with Ruben Niebla, I would hope that both of those guys could take at least a modest step forward. And if they do, they should be decent back of the rotation type pitchers.
Yeah,
there's Johnny Brito is there as well.
When we talked to Ruben on the Christmas and holiday extravaganza a couple weeks ago, he said he was going to head to the DR and he's going to work with those guys. The Vasquez's and what was the other one you mentioned?
Waldron?
Brito. Yeah, Brito and Vasquez is going to work with those guys. You hear that and you think, yeah, man, this is going to be something they need to really invest in, getting these guys ready, because they need to be contributors this year and not just middle-of-the-road type contributors.
There are still names out there. We will see what the Padres do. But, you know, clearly, Roki Sasaki is the priority right now. Will the lawsuit impact it? We don't really have any idea, if that's going to be on high on Roki Sasaki's radar, low on Roki Sasaki's radar. But it's clearly something that they will take into consideration, my guess. It's not as though every other ownership group is perfectly tight, has all their ducks in a row all the time. There's a lot of drama that goes on at the highest levels of Major League Baseball. So if they're doing their due diligence and homework, and I promise you that they are, they've uncovered all the skeletons in everybody's closet already. And they're out there in Major League Baseball. This one is a little public right now.
It's more public.
Yeah. But they're all out there, and the agents are, they know what's going on all around the league all the time.
Yeah, I have no idea if it will affect it. My initial reaction was, yep, you can kiss him goodbye. That was my initial reaction. It usually is. I don't like that I'm wired to think the worst immediately, but if there's one thing that sports have taught you, it's almost always expect the worst and hope for the best and be pleasantly surprised. That's how I feel about the football game tomorrow. I'm a wreck. I feel like the Irish are going to lose by 30.
You always feel that way.
Always. Every game. I felt that way against Georgia.
Are they? They're slight favorites, right?
They are. One and a half point favorites, which makes me nauseous.
It's such a weird season for Notre Dame. The loss to Northern Illinois has kind of clouded everything we've thought about the team. You know, if you can lose to Northern Illinois, how good can you really be? You know, it's not like Northern Illinois went on and had a great season.
Correct. I think they finished with a winning record, but
yeah, barely.
It's Northern Illinois.
There's no excuse.
And you lost at home, and they were 22-point favorites or something.
And you look at the teams that they played for the rest of their games, all wins, and you go, eh.
Yeah.
None of them really were that impressive. But then they get on the playoffs, and they've looked really, really good.
Really good.
The first two games.
Well, they look great against those teams. You know, Army was ranked when they played them. They demolished them. It's also how you won. You know, they won with a big margin of victory. And
they weren't barely beating those lesser teams.
Yeah, which, by the way, like that was the Irish MO for many years. It was
USC played them tough.
Played them tough
at the end of the season.
Yep.
But
you still won that game pretty handily, you know?
They had the pick six at the end. Kind of flipped it and turned it into a 15 or so point
but
game.
I will tell you, man, with the quarterback that Penn State has and, you know, the team that they have, the tight end that they have, as they always have at Penn State, I'm looking at this going, man, what do these handicappers know that I don't know? It's a very, very tight game.
It's funny because both of these teams are historically the ones that they'll put up the good regular season records,
and
then they'll
games.
Flame out.
Yeah, James Franklin.
Well, bowl game.
James Franklin as a coach, 100% can't win the big one, right? Marcus Freeman has won a lot of big ones. He's just lost a lot of crap ones. The loss to Marshall, the loss to Northern Illinois, the big games. He's actually won. He's beaten more top 25 opponents than any Notre Dame coach like ever. So it's
this feels like the year though with no massive Alabama, Georgia, juggernaut.
Ohio State is a juggernaut.
They lost to Michigan 4 weeks ago.
I understand, man.
They lost to Michigan 4 weeks ago. They looked like a juggernaut the last 2 weeks.
Did you watch them against Oregon? Holy smokes. You look at that and you go, oh, my God. Who's beating them? My buddy, I have a lot of buddies that are Texas fans.
But you know that's not how sports works.
No, I know.
You play great 1 week. Generally, the next week you play not quite as well,
especially in college football. Especially,
it's the inconsistency that gets you. Now, I think Ohio State is the team to beat. They're the best team, but I also think they're beatable.
Yeah,
I think they're beatable by any of the other three teams remaining.
Yeah,
still, Texas is not. They're also very inconsistent.
Correct.
Right now, Notre Dame, since the loss, has been the most consistent team in college football.
Don't jinx me. You're jinxing me.
I'm not trying to jinx you. I'm really not.
I haven't broached the subject at home yet of, hey, what are the chances you and the kids clear out for about 3 hours on a Thursday night? Game starts at 4:30. What are the chances you guys split until about 8? Probably not good.
I think you would need to split.
That's also not good, because I'm responsible for bath time and bedtime and things like that. Just going to have to put this game on. The game goes on the back burner, right? It's what a good dad does. Just looking over his shoulder the whole time.
You could pull a Chris Ello.
What is Chris Ello?
He records every game, tries not to find out what happens, and then after everyone's, you know, the night's over, sits down and watches it, fast forwards through all the commercials.
Which is insane to me. That's Padres so games, wild.
Every game. That's how he does it. He watches, like, nothing live.
He doesn't work mornings, though. Also, like, this is the playoffs. This is the final four.
But you can watch, like, a three-hour game in, you know, an hour and 20 minutes.
It goes quick. I can't. I've never been able to do it. Because part of the joy of me or watching sports is scrolling my phone in real time to see what everybody's saying.
Yeah.
And retweeting and having fun.
Yeah.
It's actually made sports awful and sometimes enjoyable. If your team's doing well, it's a blast. If your team's not doing well,
it's worse.
It's excruciating. Like
right.
Watching the baseball playoffs and being on your phone the whole time, live tweeting it, this pitch, that pitch, this play, this base running mistake, whatever. It really, really amps up how bad it can be.
So we're actually going to have our friend, it's been a while, Dennis Dodd, who covers college football, CBS Sports, is going to be on what time tomorrow?
We don't have a time yet.
No, okay, sometime during the show tomorrow. Dennis Dodd is going to join us from CBS Sports to talk NCAA college football semifinals tomorrow and Friday night.
I like it.
It's weird because the slower I talk,
the better you sound.
The better I sound.
Does your throat hurt at all?
No, not really.
So everyone's like, hey, Ben, go home. I'm not keeping you. I think Sammy Levitt's coming in at 8 and he's going to hang out so he can take a little pressure off you. If you want to stay, stay.
If you want to stay, you can. If you want to leave at 8, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
You want to leave now? You can't.
I don't know why I would leave.
I don't either. I think I can deal with it. I can deal with it.
But, it's different. It's fun.
You know, having Sammy in to eat a couple of innings is not the worst idea.
Yeah, it's true.
Save my pitches for the big moments.
Like what?
Take on Woods.
Like Take on Woods, yeah.
Yeah, someone's got to host Take on Woods at 8:20 this morning.
We will need you for that.
So, I want to make sure that I still have a little left in the tank.
Yep, I got you.
Later in the show.
I got you.
Today.
All right, we'll take a breather here. I'm going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto very quickly. If you have high interest debt that's weighing you down, you're listening right now, you can pay it all off in days thanks to Loan Pronto's new Rapid Equity Loan. If you're a homeowner, there's a completely hassle-free way to cash out your home's equity. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. Use their AI-driven technology. We'll get you approved for cash out in as little as a day. And, man, a lot of people doing this right now, saving over $1,000 a month, instant approvals, low fixed rates, fast transfers, get cash to consolidate all your debt. Get a fresh start for 2025. Call Loan Pronto now. See how much you qualify for. This time next week, you could be credit card debt-free. Don't wait. Get your cash fast, 619-207-4336, or go to loanpronto.com, 619-207-4336, or loanpronto.com, equal housing lender, NMLS, 1661781, unapproved credit, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
I've got a mysterious local player suspended for a don't do this coming up next.
Mysterious?
Yeah, there's some mystery behind the suspension. It's an athlete on one of our local teams.
All right.
And we'll get into that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Don't Do This brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to change or chance if and when you die. It says change, but I think it meant chance.
I think you're right.
Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I will get us started today with a little update on the Tyreek Hill situation. We played the audio, I believe it was on Monday, where he said, I'm out. I'm out. I'm not doing this. I'm out, bro. You know, he kind of had a little doublespeak in there, said whether it's here or somewhere else. Then he said, nah, I'm out the door. Well, it's not over quite yet in Miami. The team's head coach and general manager say they never actually got a formal trade request from Tyreek Hill after he told reporters he wanted out of town. Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel met with the media on Tuesday. They did sit down with Tyreek Hill, met with him for over an hour and said, look, clearly frustrated from a lackluster season. The game got the best of him at the time of his comments. Told him it was unacceptable to pull himself in the fourth quarter of a loss. And now they move forward, potentially, with him staying in Miami. But, again, a story to watch this offseason if you're a Dolphins fan.
We've seen it time and time again where guys are coming off a tough loss, a tough season, and they're in the locker room, and they get like 5 minutes to cool down, and all of a sudden they can't. And they just haven't
get worked up.
They haven't composed themselves yet.
I can't imagine not being able to compose myself, right? Just in all circumstances.
You know, in an ideal world, they all just flip, you know, snap their fingers, and they just go into soundbite mode. And I know we're just going to put our heads down this offseason, and we're going to work hard.
Yep.
But one of the things we value the most from athletes is candidness and honesty, which means sometimes they're going to say things they don't really mean. They're going to overreact. And that may be some of the case here with Tyreek Hill. Giving him a day or two to cool down, he goes, yes, we can be a good team again next year. Yeah. I don't need to be traded. I don't need to.
And we still have 2 years left on your deal.
Still have 2 years left on my deal.
Let's get it done.
I spoke a little rashly at the end of the season.
Correct.
It's forgivable to do that every once in a while. All right, this is a bit of a mysterious story involving our San Diego Gulls of the American Hockey League. I got an email yesterday. It said the American Hockey League's Player Safety Committee announces the San Diego Gulls defenseman Roland McCune has been suspended for 3 games as a consequence of his actions at the conclusion of a game at Coachella Valley on January 5th.
Okay.
McCune will miss San Diego's games tonight, Friday, and Saturday. I thought, 3-game suspension in hockey.
That's a big one.
This is a sport that allows you to essentially pummel people, and you just have to sit in a penalty box for 5 minutes. That's it. So what did he do that warranted a 3-game suspension? I went to social media, looked for video, searched his name on the internet, could not find anything except for one small tidbit. And it said that he received a game misconduct in the Coachella Valley game for physical abuse of officials. But again, I still have not seen any details as to what that means. But is that just skating up and bumping
a guy?
Did he hit him with a stick? What did he do? I don't know. I can't find it. It's not like these games are extremely well covered, especially on the road.
Yeah.
That you don't get all the details. You don't get an AP report on every single AHL game. And I have yet to be able to uncover exactly what led to the game misconduct and now a 3-game suspension for one of the Gulls defensemen.
Physical
abuse of officials. Game misconduct.
It'll come out.
You got a little schmutz.
You've
moved it down into your beard. It's like donut frosting.
No, it's for
how
one.
Did you gain all the weight?
For what?
Stuffing donuts.
It's not donut. It's lip balm. It is. Is it gone?
No, it's gone. Yes, congratulations.
It looks like donut frosting. Easy.
Sorry.
All right, let's get to do this.
I am not in a position to make fun of anyone today.
Fair.
I understand.
Froggy.
Yeah.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
You guys remember the really disturbing story of San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, who was shot during a botched armed robbery.
Came back and played, like, what, a month later?
No, it was a little bit longer than
6 weeks, maybe.
He
was back pretty fast.
Yeah, and I mean, just incredible. The most incredible part is what he said recently about wanting to meet the teen that shot him.
The guy you're involved with, do you think you'll ever face him, like, in a court, or will you ever, you know?
I don't know too much about that kind of stuff. I have been in contact with the attorneys and stuff like that, and just kind of just getting more information about it because he knew I was busy and, you know, I had a lot going on. You know, we just stay here till the sun goes down, and now we got to go home, and I got to study and all that stuff. So he knew I had busy days, and so now that the off season's here, I'll probably get more information on that kind of stuff and, you know how to go about that. But they were definitely asking my opinion about, like, the whole situation and, you know, what I thought about it. So
are you ever curious about what caused him to?
Yeah, I'm curious, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you just don't got answers for that. You know what I mean? For me, you know, I don't got answers. I don't know where he's came from, what environment he grew up in, right. You know, and that goes back for what I was just about to talk about, the entire opinions about, you know, the whole situation. For me, it's like, you know, I don't know, you know, how he grew up, so I can't judge him as a man just based off of one action that he made. Is, you know, as violent as a crime it was, you know, God forbid him doing that to somebody else. You know, I don't ever want that to happen. So, you know, whatever has to go into that. But for me, you know, just being able to forgive him, you know, at the end of the day, like, I have to forgive him or have that weight off my chest. You know what I mean? And, you know, at some point, I do want to talk to the kid and, you know, make sure that, you know, if I can create an impact on him in any way, I think, you know, that would be really big. And I think I'd be definitely open to doing that.
That's nuts. I mean, you're going to go face the guy that shot you in an armed robbery and forgive him. Speaks to the kind of person Ricky Pearsall is, and he did reunite with some of the first responders who rushed to the scene to save him. He had the group there at Niners Jets, the Monday Night Football game, which I think is really cool. But to be able to walk in there, you know, sit down maybe across the glass from somebody and say, "Hey, man, I forgive you for what you did." It's a bigger man than me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we know it was it wasn't a good season for the 49ers. Most disappointing team in football. The injuries they dealt with, but the off the field stuff as well. Not just Ricky Pearsall, but did you see the statements from Javarius Ward, the cornerback whose daughter died back in October, and he was talking about it this week, and he said he can barely even come back to California.
He said
every time he flies in, it's like trauma. And he's been dealing, like, with the PTSD. His one-year-old daughter died in October. And he's just been a wreck ever since. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be?
And it's just such a sad... It's just such a sad story. But so many things have just been piling on the San Francisco 49ers. I think the organization kind of gets a pass this year. It's just one of those years where so much went wrong. There was too much to overcome.
Yeah, no doubt.
For the 49ers this year, even though they had a great team.
Every expert
the season.
And analyst that I saw during their games or whatever was like, this is a good team.
Yeah.
With a ton of bad luck. You have to just throw this one away.
Yeah, looking at the talent they had, and of course, looking at the talent that they lost throughout, you know, some of the injuries and, you know, maybe somebody's number one fantasy draft pick, you know, that. He messed that up, as Mud and Don said that he would.
Predicted it
in the intro video. Yeah, for sure. They have had a bad run of luck there. As has the Ben Woods program in the first 3 days of the year. So,
off to a
good start.
Just a rolling, rollicking.
First show wasn't bad.
Wasn't great.
It was okay on Monday.
It was fine, I guess.
It's been a little tough for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Let's don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Everyone's been begging in the chat. Begging. I'm Batman.
Yeah, that's perfect.
There you go.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Where is she? I'm Bane.
All right, I want to tell you about Prize Picks. Quietly. Tell you about
calmly,
Prize Picks.
Calmly and quietly.
And quietly. It's really nutty. A calm and quiet in Denver. It's actually a lot of fun to play Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy. There is over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. It's easy to do. You download the app. It takes just a few seconds. And to set your lineup, it just takes a few seconds. And then you're off and running, winning real money up to 1,000 times your cash as you run your game all season long. During the playoffs, this is a great time to get involved. Combine different player stat projections into your lineups. All the stars are there. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff. You can do passing yards, receiving yards, touchdowns. They've got tons of different stat options to play. And all you have to do to start is download the app. Make sure you use the code KWFN. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup with code KWFN at Prize Picks. And it's very easy to actually upload and download your winnings with MasterCard now with Venmo. So make sure you download the app and get started with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
You sound great, and that sounded so smooth and sexy. I was roundly mocked in my home last night. Again, I usually am, but I was watching the new Golf League, and I didn't think I would, but I have some thoughts on it. And I know that you have some thoughts on it. He's very excited. It's probably why he's still here, so he could talk about. What probably. Is it, TGN?
TGL.
TGL.
Tomorrow Golf League.
Tomorrow Golf League. We will talk about that next.
I'm fired up that I got Woods to watch some indoor golf yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a little college basketball last night, and I was wondering how the number one
Which
team,
game did you play?
I watched that game.
Tennessee, Florida.
And then I had the Duke game on while I was making stir fry for the family, cutting up all the veggies and the chicken. And I had that Duke game on. I saw Cooper Flagg. Is that his name?
That's his name.
His big-ass dunk posterized that kid. But then I flipped over and I said, how is the number one team in the country?
On the road.
On the road, just getting crushed. I was the number eight team in the country, but still, like, it was a blowout. That was Florida and Tennessee.
It was like one of those bad Aztecs games where they just forget how to score. Paul, you remember some of those. Like,
oh, yeah.
They score, like, 42 points or something.
Yeah, they'd win, 52-47 or something.
They lost 73-43 to Florida yesterday.
They lost by 30 points yesterday. So I had that on, and then I remembered that my beloved Ben Higgins was extremely excited for the TGL. It's not the Tiger Golf League.
It's not the Tech Golf League.
Tech Golf League, which many thought that it was.
Guilty as charged.
Tomorrow's Golf League, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the impetus behind them doing this other than simulators are a huge, huge part. If you're a golfer and you've ever hit into a sim, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Now, I didn't think they would create an entire league off of this, but this is 2025. This is what happens. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy decided let's make a whole league and let's try to have some fun and give a peek in you know, have real golfers do it. And so I put it on. Bo and I started watching it right when it kicked off, and it pretty much grabbed me right away. As soon as they started, I went, "Oh my God!" Like you described it yesterday, I'd seen like a little special on it, but once they started and Shane Lowry hit the first drive, I went, oh my God, that simulator is incredible. It's five stories high. The green, the undulating green, the changing landscapes, the different patches of area that they had to hit from, the fairway, the rough, the sand. I was enthralled.
And then the courses that they designed. Like,
unbelievable.
Almost like impossible in real life, but these like majestic holes with incredible like carries and decisions that you have to make was very, very intriguing.
It was really,
yeah,
really.
It was a lava hole.
There was a lava hole. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I watched it. Now, the thing that happened was, and look, I don't know if this is the league or if this is just me and how I'm wired, but I made it about four holes and I went, all right. I mean, I also had bath time, bedtime. I had other responsibilities, reading, all that stuff. Like, but I was satiated after the four holes that I watched. I got enough, I felt.
So it wasn't a good match.
It was a bloodbath, is what it was.
The New York Golf Club with Shane Lowry, Wyndham Clark, and Ludwig Oberg
just smoked
absolutely
him.
Destroyed Xander, Ricky Fowler, and Matt Fitzpatrick. Fowler and Fitzpatrick looked like they had never played on a simulator in their life.
In their life.
I mean, they were not even close on some of these shots. And the other guys looked like they were playing regular. Like, yeah, we're all over this. So it was 9-2. You win points for winning holes. So that was the final score. So it wasn't a compelling match. But I thought it was interesting, the fast pace. There's a shot clock.
40 seconds.
Yeah, you gotta get up and you gotta be ready to hit and move on. You know, keeps it moving. I thought I was very disappointed that there were holes where, hey, go for the green, carry it 300 yards,
yeah,
risk going into the lava.
They laid up
waterfall,
a lot.
And they just keep hitting layups like this is some first round of the U.S. Open. And I'm not going to – I don't want to make a bogey and ruin my chances.
I don't want to torch my score.
This is entertainment, dude. Yeah, I mean, go for it.
You let know, it rip.
Get the big dog. Let it eat.
Yeah.
That's what people want to see. They want to see you hit a 345-yard drive and go for the green.
Yeah, you saw guys teeing off, Paulie, with 5 woods and 3 woods.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh. Let this
sounds
thing
like something I would do
100%. 100%.
I want to see no more layup areas. I want them going for it, and I want them always going for it. If this is going to be entertaining, they're also the problem is that so many of these guys are a little personality deficient.
It's really the thing about golf that is lacking, and I like all of those guys, all of them. I like watching them play. I love Shane Lowry. He's got some juice.
He was one of the more entertaining ones.
He's
for sure.
Really entertaining. Oberg. A-E-I-O-U. He is very handsome and very sharp, and he's a really good player.
I love Xander
so much.
I mean, he's not dynamic.
He was dynamic after he won the U.S. Open when he was on the air with us.
He was.
I mean, winning a U.S. Open will do that. I don't know how dynamic he was feeling about being in the TGL. So I did like their buy-in. I will say that I liked their buy-in. I liked how seriously they took it.
Well, the boss was sitting there.
The boss.
Tiger.
He looked nervous as hell, dude. I mean, that's his baby, right? So he put money into it and put his name on it. But again, hey, it was a Wednesday night with just college basketball, really, that I was interested in. And I put it on, and I just thought it was pretty cool. I liked it, and I'm glad I didn't bet, because I would have bet Team Xander all day.
Me too.
And you would have been screwed.
Me too.
So I didn't do anything on that, but it was pretty interesting. Now, the problem was, I tweeted it, you know, the first shot in TGL history. I said, okay, I'm kind of in on this. And a lot of our golf buddies, we were texting back and forth, they were in on it too. Then I get a tweet from my beloved wife. It says, this is so incredibly lame, I can hardly believe it. So she comes and gets in bed. And I go, what's with the public? I go, what's wrong with this? Because it was still on. I put it on after I put the kids to bed. She goes, you're literally, it's Twitch. You're watching people play video games. I go, you don't see those real golf clubs in their hands and they're hitting real golf balls? These are pro golfers. These aren't guys from a podcast out there playing this. That's Xander Schauffele. That's two-time major winner Xander Schauffele playing in this thing. She goes, yeah, no, it's stupid.
I will say it was somewhat compelling when the guys from a podcast, a fairly large one, Barstool, went last week to hit some shots on the simulator.
Yeah.
And they were terrified they were going to miss the screen.
Yes.
And hit the big expensive LED.
Correct.
Like scoreboards on the side.
And I saw a couple of improvements. You know, one thing I would like to see, I agreed with this 100%. I want to see the swing speed. I want to see the ball speed. I want to see the metrics. We love metrics, in especially in golf and baseball these days. You love metrics. So I want to see that on
and
the
they
screen.
Can do that. Those simulators nowadays can do that for everybody. But if you're going to do that, I want them to actually swing hard and go for the greens and the long drives. And none of this 5-wood, 265 off the tee layup stuff. That's not entertaining. That's not compelling.
So Ryan says, he tweets me and says, I feel like the TGL concept would be more fun with the YouTube golf type creators than pros.
I think you need famous faces to make it work.
Yeah, and some of these guys are famous, you know, on the internet and YouTube, but they're not professional.
Yeah, they're not Xander Schauffele, they're not Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, all have teams. You know, and they're going to be playing. It's either Tuesday or Monday nights going forward on ESPN. And I, you know, I saw Jason Sobel, who we've had on the show many times, go, was it perfect?
No.
No. Was it better than whatever you might have been watching on a Tuesday night?
Yes.
Yeah.
It absolutely was better than I gave it.
Was it better than a 30-point blowout Florida over Tennessee?
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was. I thought it was pretty cool. And you know, I'm always suspect on those simulators. I've never had a good round on a simulator, probably because I'm not a good golfer. But my wife categorizing it as me sitting there watching a video game. No,
that's how I kind of viewed it.
But it's
it
not
feels a, like watching guys play video games.
No, it's 100% golf.
It's golf.
It just without the elements. It just changes the conditions a little bit.
Now, do they have the thing?
That's like me going to the arcade and sitting in the machine that has the steering wheel and the pedals and going, it's like NASCAR without all of the elements.
Paulie's literally driving Le Mans right now, and I'm standing behind him watching him.
Oh, cruising USA.
Cruising USA. Cruising the world.
That's just how it feels. I don't want to like crap on it. It's fine, but there's something for everybody. That was how I initially viewed it. I'm like, this feels like watching pros play video games.
But it wasn't them playing Golden Tee. Like, all right, they reach back.
They're
swinging.
How about this? It's like watching Steph Curry try to make the shot at the fair with the little tiny basket instead of the regular sized ones and the weird balls.
Yeah, and playing Papa Shot.
Big stuffed animal. It's a little bit like that, which I would watch.
How much can you watch?
I would watch
that?
Steph
How long
Curry
can you watch
try to
that
do
for?
That.
You're not going to watch a season of Steph Curry
at the fair.
At the Del Mar Fair.
Just draining stuff, walking out with big stuffed animals. So
I don't even think he could do it, honestly.
I think it's rigged against Steph Curry.
Yeah,
it's
impossible.
Gets a beta fish.
Exactly. I don't know, man. I don't know. I liked it. Now, it's going to be on every Tuesday night?
Tuesday's the next couple of weeks, then a Monday. I think it's early in the week when they're not playing, obviously, the real golf events.
I really enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, like Sobel said. I thought it was pretty entertaining. Look, golfers traditionally... Now, you want to really spice it up, let the curse words fly. That's what... Because golfers are, to a man, even Ben on the course has dropped some words that I have never heard before, never on the air.
F you.
Yeah, never that. But I've heard a couple of salty words out there.
Dang it.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the guys.
I think we did hear it a couple of times with Matthew Fitzpatrick.
And they
dang it.
Dang it.
Yeah, he's pretty milk toast.
There needs to be more trash talk. I agree with Nick. So they do a thing, and it gave me PTSD. They do a thing called hammer. And they have the hammer. And if you're a golfer, you know what I'm talking about. Me, Paulie, a couple of the Bogey Brotherhood guys, we played the game of hammer once. And it was enough to never play it again.
Explain.
All right. I think I'm probably going to butcher it, but as my memory serves. So, all right, this hole's worth $1. It's me against Paulie. So I walk up to the tee. I hit a crap tee shot. Paulie says, hammer. Now it's worth $2. Paulie hits his ball off the tee. It's a crap shot.
It's worse.
I go, hammer. Now it's worth $4, the hole. Paulie goes up, hits a nice punch out into the fairway. I go, I'm not going to hammer it. He's out there.
$4.
I hit a punch. He goes, hammer. Now it's worth $8.
Multiply the stakes.
Now, some guys play for a quarter a hole, and it makes more sense. We didn't know. We didn't know how gnarly it was going to get. At one point, Paulie had a chip off the green for like $360. And he missed it. I went, hammer. Right? So now it's worth $720. It was stupid. It was the dumbest thing we've ever done. We played it through that day. Paul ended up owing me like $350. It was he won like $280 on a hole. The next hole I won
really,
like...
I came out like almost even. Because it was like up 300,
down
300. Like, it was insane.
So
I will never play this.
You gotta put some guardrails.
There's gotta be some guardrails on hammer because you miss a putt and your buddy goes, hammer.
Let's start at 5 cents.
5 cents. And go
cents,
from there.
20 cents.
When they started dropping hammer for points, I went, oh God, now this thing's worth two or four or whatever.
We gotta check traffic. When we come back after traffic, an unexpected sad loss in the San Diego baseball family. We'll get to a shout out to his family coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Brandon in our YouTube stream says, just got in the chat. Ben, where's your voice? Brandon?
Laryngitis.
What are you talking about? I always sound like this.
You actually starting to sound cool.
Oh, really?
I'm getting used to it.
We got a call from Adam during our last break. He said, I slept in. What's going on? Why are you even there?
Yeah.
You sound awful. Go home. And I said, I feel fine. I feel fine.
You look great. I think you sound.
I mean, you can,
okay, but why are you here?
You can
sound terrible.
But you can verify. Like, you can tell when a person looks sick. Their eyes are drooping. They have no energy. That's not me, right?
Yeah. You look fine.
I feel fine. Yeah. It's just the voice. It's
got
just
a real life
shot.
Okay.
We did on the, I can't say, I'm not allowed to make fun of him.
And then he thanked me. He thanked me for coming in and, you know, being there for the team.
Yeah, you're going to be here till 10, too. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. He said, I'll leave after taking Woods. I'm like,
Sorry. It's fine. Sammy's going to come in.
Yep.
We did have a very, I saw the tweet yesterday from MLB and then from the USD Toreros. Incredibly unexpected and sad. The passing at just the age of 37.
So sad, man.
Of probably the best pitcher USD has ever had. Yep. Brian Mattis went on to a decent major league career, mostly with the Orioles, I believe, and didn't see any details as to what the cause of death was.
No.
Obviously, when it's that young, you're just like, what happened? So sad.
So Adam Jones, friend of the program, tweet this morning is his condolences. He played with Brian. Brian was a very high draft pick. Pitched at USD. I saw USD head coach Brock Ungerich tweeting out this morning what a dog he was. And 37, man, it just doesn't make any sense. So we had this convo off the air this morning, and I asked both of these guys. I go, am I a monster for always wanting to know what happened? Because every time something happens...
I think it's human nature.
Is it?
I think anyone who says they're not curious is just being respectful, which is fine.
It might make you a monster, but I think we're all monsters if that's the case.
If that's the case, I mean,
I think we all would like to try to avoid whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, as unavoidable as you get sick, you're in an accident, you know, whatever happens, you're always... I think you have that curiosity.
Yeah, it's very, very sad to see. I obviously remember him very well pitched in recent years. So at 37 years old, I don't know if he had a family or anything like that. I've not seen any other details other than he passed away. The MLB Players Association tweeted this morning as well, but really, really big loss.
You know, it's one thing when Greg Gumbel, even a Ricky Henderson, you know, at least had a full life.
Yeah.
It always hurts when we have to do one for someone who's so young. But Paulie, if you would.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Yeah, thoughts going out to the USD family and the Orioles family and Brian Mattis' family this morning. Woods, did you see the story in the St. Louis Cardinals? Katie Wu.
No.
She wrote that they are having a lot of difficulty trading Nolan Arenado. That was their first priority of the offseason.
As spoken by, and now I said earlier in the show, I said, look, no GM or owner is going to tell you what they're planning on doing. They all hold their cards close to the vest. Not John Mozeliak. He is maybe the exception to the rule as he came out in the winter meetings like, yep, we're going to trade Nolan Arenado. So if there's any takers out there, let me know. That is not close to the vest by any stretch. And I think it's a mutual thing. Nolan wants out. And
they had the trade worked out earlier with the Astros, right?
And he nixed it.
They've been talking with the Red Sox, but now it feels like the Red Sox are kind of backing out.
Maybe pivoting to an Alex Bregman.
Yeah, and moving on. And the Cardinals are kind of in this situation where they're not really finding any takers, but they are truly trying to lower payroll. You know, they're scaling back. This is a rebuilding year for the St. Louis Cardinals, and it's hard to do that without shedding some of your higher-priced players.
Now, was Goldie was a free agent, right?
Yeah.
When he signed with the Yankees over the break. But Nolan is not a free agent. He's making all sorts of, it's weird though, because he's making all sorts of concessions. He'll go play, other positions. He'll play first base. He'll do this. He'll do that. Well, they had you locked in and you could have been traded to the Astros and you said no. So whatever it was about that organization that he didn't want to be a part of, he didn't want to be a part of. I don't know, man. I don't know where the right home for Nolan Arenado is. I have my suspicions that it could be L.A. waiting it out, and they have so many pieces, Benny, that they can trade right now. They just DFA'd their former number one prospect. They have a glut, and I think there's one more spot on their 40 man, if I'm not mistaken, to maybe add a Southern California kid in Nolan Arenado to play third base, which again. you know, I think his best days may be behind him, but we've seen guys go there and play very well, too. But I don't think San Diego's a fit for Nolan Arenado. I would not want to give up anything at all for Nolan Arenado. I really wouldn't. But, yeah, how do you go into camp if he's your third baseman after all that's been said and done?
I mean, you know, Katie says that the Red Sox look like it's the last chance, and that last chance seems to be fading away. So maybe the Dodgers aren't showing interest, or maybe they're keeping it really close to the vest and, you know, we'll swoop in at the last minute. But, the Cardinals are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. And, I mean, you can't, if he's on your team, you have to play him. You can't not play him, of course. But if you're trying to rebuild with younger players, he's also, like, blocking your plans. So it's an awkward situation that the St. Louis Cardinals have found themselves in here in the offseason. You know, and that was always their number one priority was dealing him, and they've been unable to do it.
A lot of people in the chat have theories about your lack of voice. Somebody said maybe you were eating a candy cane too enthusiastically. And some said that the Tuesday night karaoke needs to end. I did text you last night. It's the women. It's the sex, the drugs, the alcohol, that is really wearing you down.
No doubt that's all true.
Yeah, you need to take better care
of yourself. I've managed for so long. It just feels like, you know, why now?
We all run out of gas. You know, sex, drugs, and yacht rock can only, it's a lifestyle that can only go on so long, dude. So, and you're a trooper for being here, though.
So, we got Sammy Levitt's going to come by and help us out a little bit.
Sammy's coming by. I have to tell you guys what happened to me yesterday. I got my ass kicked by a tier one. Straight up. Got my ass kicked.
In what?
Physically.
Oh.
By tier one.
By a tier one.
Not an angry Dodgers fan.
Did you meet someone?
I did not go to Ian Way. I got my ass kicked by a tier one. I'll explain next. And I'm hurting.